Hey, Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, the show where we discuss all things and everything related to the Philadelphia Eagles. Before we begin, I want to remind you that you can read our content on nj.com/Eagles and make sure to bookmark that to get the latest Eagles news and analysis. Today, I'm once again joined by my No Huddle Show co-hosts, Bob Brookover and Caden Steele. On this episode, we'll cover a variety of topics ranging from the upcoming start of free agency, the draft coming right around the corner, and of course, you know, you got to talk about Jason Kelce. But first off, guys, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. another day in paradise.
Yeah, doing well, just like Bob said, you know, another day in paradise. A few more days before things get hectic with free agency, so trying to, you know, enjoy the time while we have it, I guess, before...
Yeah, it feels like it's been so long. Like before, since the Eagles last played a game of significance, and it's weird how fast this calendar goes. Like, we're about to start it. This combine just came and went. And now all of a sudden, we're talking about we're about to go to annual meetings, and then free agency is about to start next week. And it's 6 days, so it's going to be crazy. By the time I'm recording this, by the way, it's gonna be 6 days. But first off, I want to start with this because you know there was a big news that started this past Monday in terms of Eagle center Jason Kelce retiring after 13 seasons with the team. I mean, say what you will about him. This guy was around here. Some people say he was a hard soul. Some people put him on their Mount Rushmore's Eagles. I mean, we all know the colorful, what he brings to that, what he brought to the parade and the passion that he brought when he speak and what he was as a leader. So I guess we're going to start out with this. I'll go to you, Bob. Bob, what do you think Jason Kelce's lasting impact on his organization will be?
Oh, you know, and I'm certainly too young to remember Chuck Bednarik playing, but I'm sure both you and Caden know who Chuck Bednarik was, what he meant to the organization. We see it every day when we go into the auditorium. His mug is up there and 50 million times larger than life. He's not the only one. Reggie White is another one. But Bednarik played his whole career in Philadelphia. Reggie didn't. And that's going to be your grandkids are going to know who Jason Kelce is. And when you have that impact on an organization, it's immense.
Yeah, it's crazy when you do that. And you mentioned Concrete Charlie. I mean, with the passion that he had as well, too, when it came to he knocked out the guy. I forget who it was, but at the end of a game, maybe in the 60 championship.
Frank Gifford.
Gifford, and he's in that iconic picture of him holding up. The arm up, this bleeping game is over. Yes, you started hearing. You see the passion Bednarik had and Jason Kelce had it as well, too. Caden, what do you think? What do you think his lasting impact will be?
Yeah, not only, I mean, from what he did on the field, you know, first of all, is one of the most impressive things. He changed not only, how the Eagles ran the offense, but he transformed the center position in some ways with his ability to get to the second and third level. So we talk about him on – you know, the Mount Rushmore and his legacy in Eagles history. Yeah, he's up there with Brian Dawkins and Concrete Charlie and all those guys. And you can make an argument that he is, you know, maybe the most beloved Eagle of all time, but he's also one of the best centers, or if not the best center of all time. So NFL history, he's created a huge legacy. But I think the thing people will miss about him most is not even just the, you know, the six All Pros and the 193 starts and just the consistency, but just the way he carried himself in that locker room, just, you know, talking to people this past week, how he made an impact on people, how he made people believe in themselves, and that he was, you know, just the person, you know, Jason Kelce. I think everyone's going to miss the most, and he lasts, you know, a huge impact here, and I don't think he's going away necessarily. I think we'll see his face a lot, but I think he should be surely missed by the organization, by people that got to know him.
Perfect. And by the way, if you guys haven't done so already, make sure to go to NJ.com. You have to read Caden's piece because he went around and talked to a lot of former and current players, and he did a great job on that. And gives you some insight into most of Kelce as a guy, too. So good job, Caden, on that.
That's a must read.
It definitely is. And I look at him in a way, like, I go back to, I remember when Jeff Saturday was winding down and Peyton Manning, and I'm thinking in my mind, like, because obviously I'm not from Indianapolis or anything, but you know about Jeff Saturday, like, they're making a big deal about a center, like what's going on here and personality. Then you see him on ESPN and stuff like that. But Now I kind of get it now. They're almost mirror images in a way. I think Kelsey's a little bit better than Saturday. But you look at the way that how athletic, and they both had Howard Mudd in common. Y'all former rest in peace on Howard Mudd, you know, the offensive line coach, you know, guys who are able to get out in space, guys who are able to get two blocks on one play and spring players to get additional 10, 20, 30 yards down the field. And Kelsey did that. And it's going to leave a big void on that offensive line. And that's what I think we're going to get into next now.
Chris, I'm bummed, though, because one of the first things I wrote when I came from the Giants to the Eagles and you know, I had covered Jason Kelce before, I know. Was yeah. you can always write the center. Well, not anymore. That's I'm very sad for us.
You never know. Maybe Cam Jurgens, you know, the beef jerky guy, maybe he's got some stuff there that's brewing that we don't know about. You know,
I sure hope so.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. And we mentioned that void, you know, it's possible that we could see Cam Jurgens, could see Landon Dickerson in that center too. There's much discussion on that. I'll go to you, Caden, and start with this one. What do you think, who do you think should be the starting center on that and why? And what do you think the domino effect of Kelsey's leaving is going to leave on this offensive line for the next season?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to replace Jason Kelce. For the best option, you know, currently it seems, unless you're going to go through the draft and find, you know, whether you're going to draft, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier, which I guess you could do, but it seems like Cam Jurgens is going to slide into that center spot. That seems, you know, going back 2 years ago, you know, Jason Kelce was talking about it on Bleacher Report, how he helped, you know, scouted Cam Jurgens, picked him out because he reminded of him. Of himself, and we haven't seen Cam Jurgens, you know, play center since his you know, training camp, you know, 2 years ago in the preseason. And when he did, he looked pretty good. We haven't seen it in a couple of years, so it is a projection. But I think that is the most likely route that the Eagles are going to go upon. And then you got to figure out the guard spot, you know, next to him, obviously, whether that's going to be Tyler Steen, who he took in the third round last year. We didn't get to really see him play, you know, too much last year. It seemed like the staff trusts to Apeta, you know, more than Tyler Steen. So that'll be interesting whether they think he'll be ready in year two. But no matter what they do next year, the interior of the offensive line is going to be a question mark, because we don't know, you know, like I said, if Cam's going to really be a good center. He flashed, you know, during preseason a couple years ago, but that's a big time adjustment to replace a player of, you know, Jason Kelce's, you know, magnitude. Not athletically, I think Cam, you know, can do it because he is a really good athlete in space, and we've seen that before. But just from an IQ perspective, Jason Kelce is one of the best centers of all time, of just, you know, calling stuff out and just. And I didn't include this in the story, but Shane Steichen was talking about how a couple of years ago, you know, they had a certain drive, and, you know, Kelce would go up to him on the sideline and be like, do this or do this, like run behind me this way or that way. And I think, you know, be able to have a guy that was such an integral part of your game plan, and now he's gone at center, that's going to be the toughest part to replace. And then, you know, we saw Cam last year at guard, and he didn't play bad, but he also didn't play amazing. You know, there's some questions about, you know, his strength and stuff like that going forward. And then whoever that new combination is, it's just going to be really, really, really tough on the inside. We're used to the Eagles having one of the best offensive lines in the league, but, you know, they still have Landon and Jordan and Lane, so they should be good. But there's an area of weakness where, you know, some good defensive tackles next year could take advantage inside the interior.
Nice. Makes sense. Bob, what do you think? How is your things going to affect who do you think is going to be center, and who do you think about the guard spots?
All great points. One of the interesting things I did find was the last regular season game when Kelce came out of that game, Landon Dickerson went to center that day. Did a good job. Although, God, who even remembers that game other than it just being complete continuation of the disastrous end of the Eagles season. But I found it interesting that that's the decision that they made that day, to go to Landon Dickerson. Landon Dickerson was certainly the more decorated center in college. He won the Remington Award. I mean, that's but the question there becomes, do you want to move a guy who's been Pro Bowl left guard the last two seasons? And why would you do that? But I kind of lean toward the idea that Landon Dickerson might be the better option at center. He's going to be a different kind of center. He's not the same body type. Jurgensen is certainly a more more athletic guy, more closer to body type of Jason Kelce, but I don't think he's the athlete that Jason Kelce is. He had an okay, I thought, first year as a starter at right guard. Certainly got hurt, but I don't think you can read anything into that. I mean, if we did, Jason Kelce's second season was a disaster. He tore his ACL, and you never knew when he's going to play. I mean, the other option is to address this in the draft. We've seen this team do that before. You know, they use second round picks on back to back centers in Juergens and Dickerson. And the other option is there are some interesting free agent names out there. The Rams' Kevin Dotson and Miami's Robert Hunt, the two main ones. Both of them actually, I think, were graded higher than Kelce at center last season. The options at guard. I'm screwing that up. Options at guard and to move to center are those two guys, Dotson and Robert Hunt from the Dolphins, were both graded higher than Juergens and Dickerson last year by Pro Football Focus. So you could have that option of bringing somebody like that in, and then you move one of either Dickerson or Juergens to center.
Good points by both of you guys. And when I look at the way who's going to be center, for me, I think you gotta trust your gut in a way and go with Juergens, because even though he was there at right guard for a little, like this past season, I think his build and his power set and everything else and relies more toward the center part. He's still mobile enough because guards, we all know guards have to pull and get out there on screens and stuff like that. But I look at Juergens being that guy, being in the middle. And also, I don't want to mess with what the Eagles have on that left side right now when it comes to Jordan Mailata and Landon Dickerson. Because looking at PFF right now, that's their strongest part, especially in the run game. You know, they're not a run first team, but when they're running the ball, they're averaging 5.5 yards going right behind Mailata's direction, 5.3 in the area that, and also 5.3 yards in the area that Dickerson has to. I want to keep those two together. And we all know, I don't know, they got the stepbrothers thing going on too, you know, when it comes to that communication and what they have there. So I'd probably keep that. I'm looking more at that right guard spot. And I know you drafted Tyler Steen in the third round. And I know that you're hoping he develops, and no rookie gets it overnight. But I think it's an opportunity where you can go and not only – you can kill two birds with one stone if you go in the draft, especially if you go early in the first round and say Troy Fontenot out of Washington. I look at him as a guy who's still mobile enough, you could try to put as a right guard. And then eventually when Lane Johnson retires, say 2, 3, 4, what have you, years, kick him over to the right tackle, then revisit this all over again. Or even somebody I saw this was a little interesting too during the combine on the final day when the offensive lineman working out and Stoutland was up and he's doing this one drill, like his pass block drill, and he guys come up and you just go, all right, good job, guy, good job, all right, hey, do this, whatever. He made sure to call this one guy's name. He knew it immediately. He knew this guy's name, Roger Rosengard. He knew his name just like that. And he's a guy swimming in there in the fifth round, maybe he's falling to six. He's a guy I'd probably look at as like your developmental guy. Maybe he gets a shot to have a competition early on with Steen. And then if you go with Steen, then you have him in the background be like your Jack Driscoll and just have him work, be your swing guy as well too. So that's a guy I'm probably looking at in terms of that on there. Now, when he goes to – I'll leave this on Kelce. Is there a memory that you guys have that you look at, you go, you know what? That's Jason Kelce, or just overall favorite Jason Kelce memory.
Mine's an easy one. After the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I was in spring training. It was about 8 days after the Eagles had won the Super Bowl, somewhere in that 8 days to 10 days, something like that. I forget the exact number of days, but Jason Kelce showed up in Clearwater, spoke to the Phillies. And I remember talking to Scott Kingery about it. And, you know, Scott Kingery was a rookie who ended up making the team that year, surprised everybody. Obviously, his story didn't turn out the way he wanted to. But he was so excited that a guy like Jason Kelce had come in and spoken to the Phillies players and was so taken by his message. And you could see, we've seen many times, including at the retirement speech, how captivating Jason Kelce can be. He can take over a room very easily, and the room lights up. And, you know, I hadn't covered Jason. I was a columnist most of the time, but I'd covered Jason from 2013 through 2017. Got to know him pretty well in that time. Not like a beat writer does, but, you know, you sometimes wonder, and these are two instances, you sometimes wonder if guys are going to remember you. The two guys that day he came in, he saw me, I said, "Hey, Jason," he came and I shook his hand. He grabbed me and hugged me. The Inquirer photographer took a photograph of it. I still have the photograph. It's a great, great photo, that I really like. But it, also when I came back on the beat this year, you know, there are two guys in that room who are just as engaging as any human beings on earth. And Jason is obviously one of them. You know, he immediately remembered my name, said hello to me. We talked for about 45 minutes about a bunch of different stuff. The Giants, Dexter Lawrence, that kind of stuff. And the other guy like that. And, you know, I think it's going to be a similar scene, although I'm not sure anybody can – I don't think he'll write a 45-minute speech, but it's going to be a very emotional scene when Brandon Graham – he hadn't seen me in a long time, and the first thing he said, "Man, where you been?" And, you know, he's the same type of personality. Those two guys are, you know, are among personalities that in my 40 years of covering – sports, those two belong on the Mount Rushmore of personalities and guys that you just are happy to see and happy to do well.
Nice, nice. What about you, Caden?
Yeah, I mean, obviously wasn't around in the locker room, you know, too long, so I didn't get to know Jason, you know, too well personally, but just from the stories, you know, the other people, you know, told me and that we've got to see over the years, just his personality, kind of like Bob mentioned, just was so impactful to everyone that was around him. And I guess, you know, for moments, and it's hard not to pick the Super Bowl parade speech, and you could see just how much he cared about the city and how much he cared about his teammates. And that was, you know, one of the most iconic moments in Philadelphia sports history, probably the most important, you know, championship, you know, of all the Philadelphia sports team, a long drought, haven't won a championship since 1960, haven't won a Super Bowl. And he came out there and he gave a speech that, you know, I don't think anyone will ever forgive or forget. And it's just, I think his impact is really tough to describe just based off memories, because there's so many different things that he did. And he was such a fun, light personality, you know, with the fat Batman and him putting on the Batman mask, a part of the Jerry S. Slay joke last year. But also, you know, the way he handled the Super Bowl last year against his own brother, Travis, there's just some very moments where you could tell what a good person you know, Jason Kelce was. And I think that's what stood out to me, that, you know, it was bigger than just, you know, football for him. And I personally, you know, believe that's why he stuck around so long. Center is a tough, tough, tough position. You know, he took so many hits throughout the years. I'm sure his body's been, he's been considering retirement for years, but the fact that, you know, the love for his teammates that he showed to the, you know, that day at the Super Bowl parade, his love for Jeff Stoutland, for all those reasons, I think Jason, you know, kept coming back and the ultimate human and also the ultimate football players.
Yeah, he's done a lot, so much, and there's two that I have, and I'm trying to wind down. But you know what? I'll use this as an honorable mention. I still look at that NFC Championship game where he thought he was trying to body rock like a Lil Uzi Vert song. He was trying to do it with Miles Sanders, and the fact that he said afterwards he thought he threw his back out. I was like, oh great, here we go. That would have been a great little line in there. But it goes back to the parade, but not the speech was great. But I still just remember I was on the news side back when the parade was happening. I was covering it there, and besides all the beer cans that were hitting against the buses and hear the thumps, you saw this very cold for a guy in that mummer suit just walking up trying to talk to as many people as he can. I remember this one lady was like he was talking to him. He stopped, talked to her, talk about how much she meant to him and everything else. And he she was crying, and you see that he saw the way that he meant, like what he meant. And then I also remember at one of the Eagles Autism Challenges as well too, there was a preschool teacher that was there, and the only person she wanted to meet was Jason Kelce. And you would have thought this man was like a rock star, and when you talk about, when you hear everybody talks about him and you see what he's doing around there and the notoriety he's getting now, he really was. And yeah, it's going to be certainly different around the NovaCare Complex next year without him. But All right, we're going to move on from Jason Kelce, and now we're going to go to the other side of the ball and now look at Hassan Reddick. Right, Reddick right now, if you haven't heard, is in the middle of the Eagles allowed him permission to seek a trade. Reddick's obviously looking to get paid a little bit more as well, too, looking for more guaranteed money and also looking for that extension to get him up there with the Nick Bosa's of the world. And after with the production, the amount of productions he's had lately, he wouldn't see that. He's entering the final year of a 3-year, $45 million contract. He's going to count $21.8 million against the cap next season. And I'll go to you, Bob. Bob, what do you think? Do you think he's really going to be in an Eagles uniform next season?
I do. I don't, you know, obviously I don't know exactly what he's looking for in terms of financially, and I don't know what the Eagles it would take for the Eagles to unload him. But if you don't have him, you better have a really good plan to fill for him. And you know, Howie Roseman talked to, he didn't mention anything about negotiations, but he talked about the person Hassan Reddick. And if he really believes that, the person Hassan Reddick is the perfect guy to have back for the Eagles. He's a local guy. He's a Temple guy. He's a Camden guy. He immediately made it clear, I want to be an Eagle. And Howie, in a different part of his postseason, postmortem, you know, said that the kind of guy he described that the Eagles want, it fit Hassan Reddick. This is the kind of guy who wants to be here. He's been a great player the last 2 years, been a sack machine. You know, if there's a complaint or a nitpick about Hassan, it's that he doesn't always set the edge in the best ways, but I'm not sure they always used him in the best ways. And I'd like to see him in Vic Fangio's defense and see if he can go to another level in that regard. But if you don't have Hassan Reddick, I'm going to reiterate, you better have a good plan. And, you know, the two best free agents on the market, in my opinion, were Josh Allen and Brian Burns as far as edge rushers. They were both tagged. You know, Daniel Hunter's a little older from Minnesota. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams interested in that. So there's no guarantee there. Can you draft one? Sure. But, you know, To answer your question, Chris, yes, I think Hassan Reddick's going to be back. I think they're going to find a way to make this work out.
How about you, Cade? What do you think?
Yeah. I personally, you know, if I were in Howie Roseman's shoes, I would bring back Hassan Reddick. Kind of because of the reason that Bob mentioned. You look, if you go into next year without Hassan Reddick, you're really going to have to rely on Nolan Smith. And from the 17 games that, you know, we all saw from him last year, and it's not to say that he can't be good in the future, but he didn't play a ton of snaps. He didn't make a ton of, you know, impact. It's really at this point with Nolan projection. And a year or two from now, he could be a really good player. But do you just want to rely on that? And then beyond, you know, Nolan Smith, we saw the last 2 months of the season that, you know, Josh Sweat could be scheme related, could just be, you know, the wear and tear of that season. A lot of players, you know, really struggled during those final 2 months, but he didn't get a sack pretty much in the final 2 months of the season. And then beyond those guys, they don't really have anyone on this roster. So having Hassan back almost feels necessary. And nothing about his game says that he's going to slow down. You know, pass rushers can play into the early 30s to mid 30s and still be, you know, pretty productive players and still have, you know, productive roles. Until pretty much last year, we saw that, you know, with Brandon Graham, and he's still a pretty, you know, functional role player. So if you give him a long-term extension, he probably has, you know, another, you know, maybe all pro or a couple more Pro Bowl seasons in him. Last year, at the beginning of the year, he was dealing with the thumb. So that, you know, potentially slowed him down a little bit early last year. But he still finished the year with 11 sacks, had 16 the year before. And he deserves, you know, top end money, you know, because his production, you know, warrants it. He's one of the best, you know, pass rushers in football. But, you know, at the same time, while saying that, I do think there is a scenario where he doesn't come back, because we don't know necessarily what Vic Fangio thinks of Hassan and how he fits that defense, you know, necessarily. Maybe if Vic really likes him, he'll probably be back. But maybe there is world where, you know, Vic wants a larger, you know, defensive end or edge rusher to kind of to employ in his defense. And it depends also what the, you know, this team, you know, gets back for Hassan Reddick. You look at this defense right now, obviously I got a ton of holes in the secondary at safety, corner, got holes at linebacker. Just the depth of this defense in general is not that good. So if a team comes to you and they offer you a second and a fourth round pick or something, and you have 3 second round picks this year, potentially that might be enticing because it'd be different ways to rebuild the defense. So I'm not really sure if he's going to be back. I think it all comes down to what he wants and what the offers are out there trade wise. But it would be a huge mistake if the Eagles let Hassan Reddick go in their prime, I think.
Yeah, when I look at the way – when I look at this whole situation, I think it'll eventually work out to the point where he'll be – still remain here. Maybe they do something where they restructure something. Maybe it's a short – I think it'll be a shorter-term deal where you're looking at maybe 2 years. You avoid it not having to tag him in 2025, and you go from there. But if not, no matter what, I think – and even then, I think heading into that, I think we're headed to a Holden because – if you trade him right now, I don't think you're going to get the value you want. Like for me, I see a guy like that, a guy who could be extremely disruptive in a very passing, in a league that's focused on passing. I think you need to look at, you need at least a first round pick for him, at least. And then you're going to look at who you're going to trade him to. You don't want to trade him within a conference because the last thing you want to do is if you make a run, you see this guy terrorizing you potentially and being a headache if you're making a playoff run. So you don't want to see that. And you also look at the cap wise too. If they trade him right now, they'd only save about $1 million. And then if they trade him after June 1st, which is completely after the draft, A, you're looking at a 2025 pick, you know, and you know, knowing where that's going to be, if it's going to be higher toward the back end of the first, what have you, then you actually save $16 million. But I don't think you could do that given you guys mentioned that. When you look at the depth they have at that position, Brandon Graham, I know he's a free agent, but it looks like he wants to stay here, and you can foresee him coming back that way. Josh Sweat's a free agent after this year. He's a contract year, so you know you probably get production. Add this guy, just have, when you look at Reddick, you got it too. And Nolan Smith, you know, he's still learning, you know, he's still learning, still green in the league, and he'll be in a rookie last year. So I'm looking at this all thing. I think we're just headed to a hold-in. Maybe something is done during spring, maybe just before trade camp, but it ain't all looking great right now. It definitely is not. Now, getting off that, still looking at the defense, you know, that's secondary. We all know how much issues they had last year, and they started making some moves addressing it. I mean, safety Kevin Byard was released this week. Also released was Avante Maddox yesterday on Wednesday, and that kind of came as a shock, kind of didn't, you know, given that his contract number was very high. I think it's like a 9.6 hit that he was due for 2024. And according to Adam Schefter, both sides are still going to talk to see if they can bring him back as well, too. If there seems to be mutual interest in him returning. But guys, when you look at the secondary right there, how different do you think everything will look in terms of starters of Darius Slay, James Bradberry? That's a big one as well, too. And the others with Reed Blankenship.
Yeah, I guess I could start out. I think it's going to look really, you know, different next season. I truly believe that the Eagles are going to be aggressive in free agency and in the draft to fix this secondary. Even if a guy like James Bradberry is retained because of his cap hit, I think there's going to be a new starting outside corner. There could be a new pair of starting safeties. I'm not sure if they necessarily believe that Reed Blankenship is a long-term starter, even though he's flashed at times in the first 2 years. They have good amount of cap space, a good amount of draft picks, you know, to fix this area. And it's a really strong safety free agent group. Justin Simmons from the Broncos just got cut this morning, just got released, and that's a connection to Vic Fangio. Eddie Jackson's out there as well, another connection. So they could go the veteran route at safety. Wouldn't be surprised if they brought in one of those guys on a 1 or 2 year deal. And then also you just look at some of the young guys in the group out there, Xavier McKinney and Jordan Fuller and Cameron Curl. There's so many safeties in this class. Darnell Savage. It's a long list of players in that safety group where I feel like that is a position that they are going to address. And I think they're going to address it with, especially during free agency. Slay I think, you know, he'll be back next year as your starting outside corner, but you might have a new starting nickel corner because Maddox is in there. Whether they address that through the draft or whether they think Eli Ricks can continue to play snaps on the inside, or maybe Keely Ringo can move inside, maybe on the outside, even if Bradbury's retained, a guy like Isaiah Rogers, if his suspension is lifted by the league, he played outside corner most of his time with the Colts. He could be a starter. Overall, I just think this, you know, the secondary needs to be repaired, because you can't come into next year with the same group of guys, or you're gonna get picked apart again in the NFC. And if I had to put most of my money on it, I think most of where the Eagles are gonna have, go out in free agency is gonna be, you know, two safeties and maybe even a corner possibly.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with the fact the secondary, it doesn't get mentioned much, but I think they really thought that Sidney Brown was going to be a big part of their plans next season, and that's – I'd be very surprised if he was ready to start the season after, suffering a torn ACL in the regular season finale against the Giants. He's probably not going to be ready for at least four or five games into the season. I'd be surprised if it was before that. So that really was an under the radar injury that hurts this team going forward. Caden made some great points about, this secondary is going to look different. Howie Roseman said, he still sees James Bradbury as an outside guy. Just because guys say something doesn't necessarily mean it's true. But now they used him some in that slot last year, although it seems like they used anybody who had a uniform and slot cornerback after Avonte Maddox went down. So there you go.
I've been waiting to use that.
The NJ Advanced Media budget is just boom. I mean, just out of control. You've got me losing my train of thought here. But
sorry.
Sorry. I do like some of the young guys. I like Keely Ringo. I don't know if he's more outside, or he's definitely a physical guy who maybe you can move inside and have play in tight spaces. The one free agent out there that I find very intriguing is CJGJ. Gardner Johnson, do you bring him back? He's out there. I think he was really hurt when he left last year, and I think the Eagles really wanted him, but their cap situation was so tight that they couldn't do it. He obviously didn't have this. The Lions had the season they wanted in many ways, but he only played in three games, two regular season and one playoff, I think, or he might have played two playoffs, I guess. But, he obviously was hurt. He had torn pec early in the year, set him aside. But I thought one of the things missing from, this is definitely, I was looking at from afar 2 years ago because I wasn't around the team all the time, but from the outside looking in, it seemed like that secondary with him, he's obviously a legendary trash talker. I did get to see that when the Giants went and played they were just scrimmaging with the Lions in the summer. It was their first preseason game, and he was getting under people's skin there. And it seemed like the Eagles lost some swagger without him back there. He obviously had, in terms of making plays, I think he had 6-7 interceptions, led the NFL in interceptions. I think they missed him, and it'll be interesting to see if they pursue him in free agency, and I think they should.
Yeah, it's interesting. To me, I look at this in a way that I think Bradbury's back. And I think he's there next year. He's playing on the outside because
that number's so big, man. And you know what? Who's to say? You know what? The guy had this was said to me by a baseball guy a long time ago, the late John Vukovic, who I loved. He said, sometimes good players have bad years. And James Bradbury, for most of his career, has been a good player, and we can all agree that he had a bad year.
And just looking up right now, if they cut him right now before free agency start, he counts they lose $10.8 million in cap space. That's just a big chunk, especially even though he gained a lot with the new cap going up because of the TV deals and everything. That's still a lot. And you mentioned that's the reason why I think he's back too. There's two reasons why I think he's back. I look at the way where Vangio and his system. I know there's a lot of man-to-man principles with the match parts, but it's still, you see teams play half the field zone, half the field man. And I look at Bradbury, he's a better zone corner than man. I look at the way he does it. His anticipation in zone is really good. The way he jumps routes, he breaks up passes, I think that plays well into him. And going back to the way he struggled in 2021, I was looking back in that numbers, like when his final year to Giants, teams completed 67% of the passes going his way. And he had a quarterback rating of 93.1. And what happened the next year? He saw the Giants cut him because of their own cap reasons, joins the Eagles, and he's second team all pro. I think he does bounce back. I think in this system, I don't think Vangio's going to rely on too much being, hey, follow this. He won't use him like Slay, like, hey, follow Justin Jefferson around. Okay, no, he's going to follow the other guy when it comes to there. And I think given better safety play and him just rebounding and being in the system with the guy who originated it, instead of having everybody else who was trying to study it and implement it that way, I think he's going to have a bounce back year to a point. I don't know all pro, but I think he's going to be serviceable and it'll be a lot better. And to the point where we're like, okay, yeah, remember we say going James Bradbury was cut? Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have done that. I think it'll wind up being one of those things. And when you're looking at that rest of that secondary, Bob, you mentioned this earlier in terms of the different players that are available, looking at free agency, who are three free agents that you're looking at, either defensively, offensively, that you think would be good fits for the Eagles?
I'm going to go back to my Giants roots to start here. I was surprised that Xavier McKinney wasn't either tagged or transitioned by the Giants. Having seen firsthand, he's going to cost a lot of money. But if you want a difference maker in the secondary, Xavier McKinney is that type of player. I think he's still only 24 years old, and he's an ascending player. He's coming off his best season. So if you want to go spend big on a safety, there's a guy I think you need to consider. And I'm still going back to my Giants roots, and Chris, you wrote about him today, the possibility of it happening. I don't think the possibility of it happening is great, but I've been on record. I've been pounding this drum for a while. You know where I'm going. I really do believe that, if you want to remake the offense that Nick Sirianni described as getting stale last year, I think if you bring in a guy like Saquon Barkley, and part of this I admit is because I know who Saquon Barkley is. I covered him for a year and a half. I saw what he was in that Giants locker room. He is a presence. I don't want to say Jason Kelce type presence, but he's a presence. He's a guy who, if you brought into your locker room, young guys are going to be looking to him to lead them, and he's more than willing to lead them both verbally, and he puts his money where his mouth is. He goes and puts it on the line and is a punishing runner. I think his abilities have been stunted by a bad offensive line and a team that doesn't have any great receivers. And yes, even Daniel Jones, although I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback maybe than some people give him credit for. But I see Saquon Barkley in this offense doing special things behind it. The offensive line we discussed earlier, is it going to be the same without Jason Kelce? Probably not, but still going to be one of the best in the league. And if the right move is made on the interior, could be the best in the league. Put Saquon behind that. Yeah, you have something special. And then the one other position I'll go to in this free agent market is linebacker. And for me, a guy that I would really like to see here is Patrick Queen, who seems ready to move on from the Ravens. I like anybody that comes from the Ravens because I just think they exude defense. They ooze defensive personality, that team. And he's still young. I in this free agent market, I want young guys who are just hitting the prime of their career. Patrick Queen turns 25 in August. I think he would be a good fit here. Those are just three guys. And another, I'll go to the edge too. I'll give you one edge guy because I find him intriguing. And Eagles aren't going to have money to do all this stuff, but they're going to look at a lot of different guys and get what they get. But I'm curious to see what Chase Young becomes. I still think there's a lot of potential there. That injuries have certainly stunted his early part of his career, but I still think there's a lot there with Chase Young.
Nice, good breakdown. Yeah, nice breakdown, man. Nice breakdown. And okay, you know, when you look at free agency, you know, that's one way you can rebuild this team. The draft is another. Caden, who are three draft prospects do you think that the Eagles could benefit from? And, you know, we all know that the Eagles have a first round, 2 seconds, and they're projected to have a third because of the 49ers signing Javon Hargrave. So, if you, Caden, who are three first round or second round draft prospects you think that the Eagles should target?
Yeah, I'll focus on the first round for now while we're in March. But you look at pick 22, there will be many options available. This is a really strong offensive tackle and a really good cornerback class as well. And at the top, you know, if three quarterbacks go, it's going to push down some talent. With the 22nd pick, one of the guys that I firmly believe that if he's on the board that they could target is Leo Latu from UCLA. If he falls because of the medicals, because he is one of the best pass rushers, if not the best pass rusher in this class. Some people think he's a top 10 player. He's a polished pass rusher. He knows how to use his hands. He knows how to – he's not going to win like Dallas Turner from Alabama based off just pure athleticism, but he's so polished. He's ready to come in the league right now and be probably 7-8 sacks, maybe even like 9 sacks as a rookie because he just knows how to use his leverage, and he's a big guy as well. He's got good size, and he is a pro-ready pass rusher that only will drop the 22 if the medicals are concerned, which they are. He medically retired before playing at UCLA, so some teams might pass on him. And even if they bring back Hassan Reddick, which, you know, I think we're all in agreement that some way, somehow, it's going to happen, this team needs, you know, future pass rush plans because, you know, Reddick, if he comes back and he plays 1 year of his final deal and becomes a free agent next year, you know, him and Josh Sweat, you know, Josh Sweat's a free agent after 2024 as well. And the only guy you have after that, you're banking on Nolan Smith becoming a really good player. And maybe he can be, but he needs a future partner. And Latu is one of the best players in this entire class. He has good film, and I think he would be a perfect pick at number 22 if they want to upgrade their pass rush. The other guy that could be there is Cooper DeJean as well from Iowa. And we talked, you know, this entire podcast about, you know, how the secondary could look different. Like you can make an argument they need another starting safety and they need a new starting nickel. They need an outside starting corner. And the good thing is Cooper DeJean could play all three. He's a versatile chess piece. And we've seen from Vic Fangio's time in Miami and Chicago and Denver, he likes versatility across his defense. And this is a player that not only can play defense, he can return punts as well, which he probably won't do at the NFL level because, you know, if he's a core starter, you want to keep him healthy. But he could just fill so many different areas. You can move him all across the board to cover wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. He's that type of athlete. And if they want to keep him on the outside, I think he could be a really good player there as well. A ton of experience at Iowa. And any of the corners that fall in this class to that 22nd pick, I think the Eagles, you know, they haven't took a cornerback. The highest quarterback they've taken was in the second round since 2017. It's the second round in Sidney Jones. And before that, you know, they haven't took a cornerback in the first round since Lee Shepard in 2002. So history says, you know, it won't happen, but this team really needs an outside cornerback or some type of player in the secondary that is young and that can make an impact. And then the other guy that could interest this team, talk about how this tackle class, you know, is pretty historic from just, you know, different pundits and just people talking about it. Like it could be up to 8 guys selected in the first round who are offensive tackles. I think Amarius Mims from Georgia would be an interesting prospect. Only 8 college career starts, I believe, and wasn't fully healthy last year. So a ton of inexperience, but just physically, he is just built. I mean, we got to saw him run at the combine and then he pulled up. So we didn't get to see his full workout, but he's just physically gifted in ways that you can't teach. And the experience and the, you know, how raw, you know, maybe certain parts of his game may be because of that isn't too big of a worry, because you wouldn't have to rush him in. And I know, you know, some Eagles fans, and, you know, they want the immediate fix with, you know, cornerback or linebacker or safety, but we've throughout, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, especially how he drafts for the future. And we talk about that in that offensive line, Lane Johnson, you know, although still playing at an all pro level, might only have, you know, 2 or maybe 3 years left. And you give a guy like Amarius Mims a year or two to learn from Lane Johnson, you might have your next cornerstone of the offensive line. And then maybe even like a Tyler Guyton as well from Oklahoma, who's also a tackle with also physically just really, you know, great gifts that you just can't teach. And there's two tackles there in the 20s I think are really going to intrigue the Eagles.
Nice, nice. I like Mims as well, too. And I was disappointed when he pulled up. I was just straight away halfway. I was like, oh, great, here we go. It was like, and they just put a bunch of doubts in that. But guys, we're at the final segment. We're going to start about to do the no huddle final drive. It's a 2-minute segment here. It's going to be yes, no, or multiple choice questions that are going to be coming up here with a brief follow up. Each of you have one timeout when it comes to that. There could be a booth review. If I hear something that's just like, whoa, the booth is going to interject and ask you to explain a little bit more to you, depending on the situation for that. So I got to ask for guys, are you guys ready to go for this final blitz?
Yes.
I'm ready, all sir.
Right. All right. All right. Clock starts now. Bob, Kellen Moore or Vic Fangio, whose unit do you think will have a better season?
Kellen Moore.
And Caden, when you look at the Jalen Hurts finishes in the top three of the MVP voting, yes or no?
No.
Okay. When you look at Bob, does Howie Roseman trade up or down in this year's draft?
Up.
Cool. There you go, Caden. Avante Maddox, do you think he'll resign?
No.
All right. Bob, Isaiah Rodgers, how big an impact player, or will he just be a role player and eventually be cut?
I think role player that it's eventually cut.
Caden, Jordan Poyer, Xavier McKinney, or Justin Simmons, which one of the three do you think is the best chance of signing with the Eagles?
Justin Simmons.
All right, cool. Bob, if you had to give yourself a player comp, looking back to your playing days and playing football, what player, recently retired or current player, would you compare yourself to?
All right, I get to explain this one a little bit, right?
Are you going to use your timeout?
I use my timeout so I can right, explain. Cool. So I can right. explain it.
All right, you got timeout, Bob. It's a take as long as you want.
Okay. I'm going to say Jason Kelce because for several reasons. One is I just want to mention Jason Kelce one more time because he was such a great player and such a joy to cover. But also because when Jason Kelce got up there and started talking the other day and lost it at hello, that reminded me of myself because I'll go back to my parents' 50th wedding anniversary party at my house, and I decided to write a little speech and talk about my parents. And much like Jason Kelce, I lost it at hello. Because you talk about people who mean so much to you and something that means so much to you, and you start to cry. And I started to cry. I'll admit, my eyes weren't dry. I wanted to borrow Travis Kelce's sunglasses, although they weren't helping him much during that speech. The tears were still coming, visibly coming down his face, even with the sunglasses. The only other thing I had in common, however, with Jason Kelce, because I was an okay high school football offensive guard and defensive end, better at offensive guard, was that the thing I did best was I was a pulling guard. As Jason said, you know, when the big guys got in front of me, I can remember my junior year, there was a kid named Paul Worthington from Bordentown High School who was about 6'3", 270 pounds, and I was all of like 185 pounds, and he just beat the crap out of me all day, and Bordentown beat the crap out of us all day, and the coach kept yelling at me, and I'm like, are you watching? I can't block him. I can't handle him. He's physically bigger than me, you know, and I got chewed out. The good news was that Bordentown was kind of a military area because Fort Dix is around there. And I think Paul Werthing moved or something my senior year because he wasn't there anymore, and I didn't have to block him my senior year, so that was good news. And that's way more than you need to know about my high school football career, but that's why I use Jason Kelce as my comp. Done. That's all I got.
No, it's perfect because we're in draft season. That's why I want to do it. We're in draft season. You got player comps. You know, what people want to know more about us. So, hey, I thought it would be good. It's a good question. I like that. Cool.
The infamous words of Jason Kelce, that's all I got.
Yeah. All right. We got 50 seconds left. We're actually right near the end zone, which is actually good. So we're going to start the clock again on my whistle. And we're starting now. Kate, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you had to give yourself a player comp right now, currently or recently retired player, who are you picking?
Travis Long, I'm going to have to take a timeout too.
All right, cool. We're going to pause the clock right now. No more timeouts left. Kate, you got to take as much as you need to explain.
I would compare myself to Travis Long. Not for a happy reason or a sentimental reason. Bob had a great story about Kelce. Mine more for just unfortunate, kind of like Travis Long in high school. You know, first for Travis Long, obviously was a player for the Eagle that, you know, they seemed to really like, put together some good training camps, some good off seasons, but tore his ACL and before the 2014 season when he was on the verge of making the roster, and then 2015 early in training camp, tore his ACL again, and then was waived the next off season. So never really reached his potential, even though it seemed like a player that the organization thought was going to make an impact, you know, potentially on defense in the future. Just never got there because of injuries. I could say the same, you know, happened for me in high school. Before I was a freshman in high school, I tore my right ACL. And then going into my junior, I played my entire sophomore year of football. And I started getting comfortable again, kind of similar to Travis. My coaches started liking me. The organization, I guess, of Cape and Lupin High School started liking me. I started, you know, performing well, you know, at practice throughout the year in games. And then in the offseason, you know, I started, started to get a big role, and I was starting to get fully healthy from that injury, and it looked like I was going to get some, you know, some serious playing time and, you know, kind of find myself. And then going into my junior year, I tore the left ACL in my knee. So because of the misfortune in the two torn ACLs, I did it in both knees. Travis did it in the same knee. But because of that misfortune where I felt like, you know, I had the potential, I had the ceiling, but then the injuries kind of put me behind the eight ball and almost kind of took that chance away. So it almost reminds me of Travis Long. I couldn't compare myself to a guy who stayed healthy, so I had to pick the guy that got hurt.
Who knew that Caden Steele was injury prone?
I might have had it worse than Travis Long. The second time I tore my ACL, I had like a emergency surgery on my calf, and they had to open up my entire calf because something called compartment syndrome. So I might have had it worse than Travis Long. So I could talk to Travis Long, Chase Young, whoever wants to talk about injuries in the locker room, any Eagles players, you know, this year. Maybe that's my way I could connect because I've been through it.
Oh my goodness, man.
Thanks for making my good stomach turn.
Hey, good thing it's almost lunchtime, Bob. It's almost lunch. Just don't.
I'm going to see something I never thought I'd say again. Breakfast.
Those are good. On that note, I think we scored with that inning zero. I think that was a good score. You know, finished with 38 seconds left. You guys scored. Good job.
We need yours now. Hostess with the mostest.
Oh no. Okay. If I had to go, I'm going back between Josh Freeman and Taysom Hill. I played quarterback in high school and semi-pro, and I was in the wing T system in high school. You know that wonderful fake to fullback, fake to the halfback, bootleg out, and I ran the ball a lot. So, and especially in semi-pro, that's pretty much what it is. That's how I, since we all have these injuries and stuff like that, that's how I tore my broke my basically I tore all the ligaments in my ankle. And you know how your ankle, if you lay down, you look at your feet, and if it's a clock, both of them are supposed to be pointing at 12. Well, the right one was still pointing at 12. The left one was pointing at 9 o'clock. So to give you guys an idea, that's how bad it was. So the reason why I say Taysom Hill is it's one of those things where if it's short yardage, if it was one of those ran option plays. That's something I excelled at. It was fun. And every morning lately, I've been reminded of running that option plays because of how much my shoulder and legs get hurt from getting that beating you take.
Oh, don't worry. That gets worse, Chris.
Oh, great. This feels just great. And then, you know, I could fill in tight end time or running back. I play a little bit of that in spots, places too. So, yeah, I'll go with Taysom Hill, and I hope I'm paid a lot of money eventually and then realize you're not really worth that money that you're given. But that's a whole other story. Guys, everybody, Bob, Kaden, I appreciate you guys for hopping on today. It was a great show, as always. Make sure that you continue to subscribe to this podcast. You're going to have some coming up, one's coming up and a little bit after the start of free agency, as well as right before the draft as well, too. Also, make sure to go to nj.com/Eagles. You'll find all of our work there that we're currently working on, some great pieces that are on there. Just go ahead and check it out. So for Bob, if for Kaden, I'm Chris. Everybody have a good one.